Good. So the today we're going to look at the Gemara on last time we discussed the Chabad of the half care. I think we pretty much discussed that. And now I want to discuss the next Gemara, and then the issue of Eidachad Misayeyav. And then this will lead us into more of the Bat Mitzvah issues of not Shai Moksen, but of Shuas Mordei Mikdash. Okay. So we were up to here. The Ha'zev is it. This is on four lines from the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Umi Matas Amr is Chada Ktani. So what happened here was, everybody have that? Yeah. Umi Matas is four lines from the bottom on Beis Amin Aleph. So the Gemara says, Umi Matas Amri Chada Ktani. What happened was, the Mishnah, as we know, says, has this, you know, seemingly superfluous formulation, right? Shnayim Ofim Tal, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Zeh Amar Kula Shuli, Zeh Amar Kula Shuli. Like, what's all the verbosity for it? So the Gemara said that, no, it's really all integrated into one. Zeh Amar Kula, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Kula Shuli, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Kula Shuli. Then the Gemara said, but still, why do you need both formulations? And that's what we discussed last week, was the topic of Re'iyah Behefker, Abatah Behefker, right, etc. Then the Gemara goes back to this and says, listen, it's very nice that you said that it really isn't Zelmer Kulishuli, Zelmer Kulishuli, Zelmer Mitzvah, Zelmer Mitzvah, Zelmer Kulishuli, and that's all integrated at least, you know, in one. But if you look at the Mishnah, it really isn't. Right? That's not what it says in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara is saying at this point. The Gemara says, Mi Matas Amr Tzchadik Tani, how could you say that it's all, integrated and jumbled together? Right, and therefore you only have to account for the double language. The way our text reads is Zeh, the Zeh Ktani, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Zeh Amar Nimatasiya, Zeh Amar Kulishali, Zeh Amar Kulishali. So it just isn't accurate according to the text that we have of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amra Papa, Bitemra of Shimi Barashi, Amrali Kadi, Resha the Natsiya, the Seifa, the Mekachumkar, Utshika. So the Gemara says, you're right. It is two different formulations, Zelmer, 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 Zelmer. And the reason for it is because we're dealing with two, the Mishnah is really trying to include two different cases, one of Metzia, one of Mecha Chumemkar. And Utsricha, we need to be told about each one of these separately. For the following reason. And this itself is a little bit, is interesting. The Itana Metzia, for if we were only told about the case of Mitzvah, so what is Mitzvah? Mitzvah means you happen upon a lost object, right? And basically, in the case of a lost object, so it's all revach, right? It's all profit, because you haven't invested in it, and, this is something that you're just, benefiting from. At the same time, right, if you are the legitimate, beneficiary of a mitzvah, right, and someone takes it away from you, so there's no recourse. So even though it's all revach, right, it's still mutually exclusive. If you don't walk away with the revach that you deserve, then you walk away, with nothing. So basically what the Gemara explains is as follows. Eitan mitzvah, avamina mitzvah, hu derami shvua lei, Mishum Demori V'Amar. So if we're only talking about a Mitzvah, we weren't talking about Bekach Umemkar in the Mishnah, I might have said that in the case of Mitzvah, there's this particular reason to add a Shavua. Because we're worried that people, that the side who is lying, in other words, is going to be Moraheter. He's going to justify his effort to steal your Mitzvah. The Amar, and he'll say, on the basis of what? Chavrai, lav midi chasaba. Because it's all benefit. It's all revach for him. He didn't invest in this. He happened to see it a minute before I saw it, or picked it up, let's say, a minute before I saw it. Right? But if I take it away from him, he's no worse off than he was 15 minutes ago, right, before he picked up this object. So since there's no hefsid here, so Azil, Atfis, the Ispalig, Bade, why should he enjoy, right, all the benefit, right? So he'll split it with me. He should have done that anyway, being a nice fellow, but if it isn't, so we'll impose niceness upon him. That's the Mora Heter. Aval, Mekachol Memkar, Talek and Amemar Hachi, even look. But in the case of Mekachol Memkar, we're dealing with a real transaction, and somebody paid for it, and this isn't just, you know, a lark and revach. It's a transaction, and therefore he would respect that, and therefore I wouldn't think that there would be a requirement of a shua. In other words, I wouldn't think that somebody would be lying, or if he was lying, I wouldn't think that this lie is a rationalization sufficient to be dispelled by the imposition of a shua. Because really, there are two issues. One is how, to what extent do we suspect, right, that you're not telling the truth? B, if you aren't telling the truth, so mimarashach, you know, if you're an incorrigible liar, even a lie is a shua. So this, of course, is the issue in general of kashya mona kashya dashua, so which we'll talk much more about. So therefore, the idea is that, you know, here this is kind of a gray area. He's going to rationalize his behavior. He's not such a bad guy. A shua will separate him from this dvar yisur, and therefore there's a requirement of shua in this case. But not Mekachol Memkar. So what if it only said Mekachol Memkar? So we have the opposite thinking. Itana Mekachol Memkar, right? Who deramu shvua alei mishum demori v'yamar chabroi damike yayiv v'ana damike yayivna hashel tzricha l'didi ashkele ana v'chabroi lezol litrach lizbifdin. So in the case of Metzia, he's really entitled to the full amount, and if we take it away from him, or take half away from him, that, you know, forget about the history. The important thing is that, in fact, given the present legal reality, right, he's going to suffer a loss. But in the case of Mecca Humemkar, right, so basically, from a financial point of view, right, we're just reversing his acquisition. But he hasn't lost money, because whatever the value was, he gets the money back. Right? But in the case of Metzia, as we said, it's a total loss. So Ema, lo. They might have thought that there's no requirement, there's not a sufficient Morahet there to justify a Shavua. And therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, both the case of Metzia and the case of Mekachol Memkar are necessary. So, of course, something interesting emerges from here, and that is, something that we've seen in the context of Shai Mokhs and Batalis also, especially when we were talking about, you know, different concepts of value. The end, the value, we talked about, you know, whether it's the Shovi, when we talked about the Gemara, we read through the Gemara on Dav Zayin and Dav Ches in Bab Metzia. I mentioned then that this is a Shas, you know, issue. Namely, what is the relationship between, you know, the object itself, which you're, you know, vying for, and its value. Is an object more than simply, you know, the cash, you know, that it costs. And here too is a very interesting example of this, the two deos and the two different moraheters, right? Do you view he was cheated out of a successful transaction, but one in which he doesn't lose, right, the cash. He only loses the end. To what extent do you view that as a hefsed? Right? Again, the Gezel is a great example. Or even more so, if we get to the Gemara Nafayim Beis, we'll speak about Losach Mod. The Gemara has the line about Losach Mod, that Losach Mod is below dummy mashmilahu. That Machlokas Rishonim, what exactly that means, but according to the position of the Rambam and the Raibid, what it means is that in the case of Losach Mod, the person who takes the object pays for it. That's not the view of the Balei Tosfos, at least not Tosfos Bava Metzia, but that's the view of the Rambam and the Raibid. When you violate Losach Mod, basically you are you're coveting someone's object, you're pressuring them to sell, and at the end of the day you force them against their will, or you compel them to give you the object, but they are paid for it. That's the view of the Rambam and the Raibid. So there's no financial loss. There's only a loss of a bed, right? So the question is that really a kind of gezel or not? So here too, here you have another kind of echo of that idea, right? Comparing Metzia and Mekach, which is a bigger loss? Somebody cheats you out of the deal you know, the Mechichu Memkar deal that you would make. But again, right now, so it's basically the market value. It's not that somebody did this, you know, 6 months later and the shuk changed. That might be a whole different matter. But the point here is that he was interested, he was motivated, right, to take his hard-earned cash and to exchange it for this particular object. So from his point of view, this transaction matters. So the fact that there's no monetary discrepancy, right, is that significant or not? Now again, it's interesting. This particular Gemara isn't necessarily speaking objectively about this question. They might be speaking very much subjectively. In other words, what do people think? Because what the Gemara is really concerned with here is the concept of Mara Heter. Namely, do you need, or is there a purpose of a Shmua to separate you from this rationalization or not? So it's a question of reading people's mind, trying to figure out the way that they think, more than anything else. But either way, it's a very interesting Gemara.
At the end of the day,
yeah,
one of them is rationalizing, because the disputing ownership, both sides seen by Mechichu Memkar.
Right, the Gemara is just trying to explain the Srichasa. In the end of the day, the Gemara is saying that in both cases it's Mara Heter. In Mechichu Memkar, there's Mara Heter because you're going to say, listen, he doesn't have to suffer a financial loss. He's only suffering a band loss. Right. And in the Metziah, there is Mara Heter because we're saying, listen, it's a lark. You know, he didn't own it. He didn't invest in it. He's not emotionally tied to it. So it's all a lark. Let him share his lark, you know, with his, you know, with his neighbor. So at the end of the day, the Gemara is saying that there's more Heter in both, and that's why there's Shmua in both. Of course, it's a very interesting Gemara from another point of view as well, worth noting, and that is that this Gemara gives the strong impression that the Shmua of the Mishnah, in the case of Shai Mosel Metalish Yachloku, right, each one swears that he doesn't own less than half that he takes, that it's connected to the concept of more Heter. Right? As we'll go forward and see, that is not what we've seen already, because we've read a lot of these Gemaras in advance. It looks like we're on base and with base, but as I said, we're somewhere between that base and that chetz. So we've already seen the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph and the Gemara in Dalid. No, the Gemara on Hay. Oh, sorry, yeah. The Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph and Hay on the base, both of which quote the position of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the purpose of the Shmua of our Mishnah is Shelo Yehei Kol Echad B'Echad, right, Tokeif the Taliso Shel Kaveiro. It sounds like Rav Yochanan's Shmua is intended to be a deterrent. The question is, how does the factor of deterrent match up with the Gemara's description here of Shmua as Mora Heter? Right? So that is an important question. Some Rishonim think that the Gemara changes its mind. In different Shakavatarias, we have a different perspective on what the nature of the Shvua is. So, for example, again, a Gemara that is in front of us but really behind us, right, down half an amud down on the page, right, the Gemara discusses both Rabbanan and Sumchas. The Rabbanan of Sumchas and Sumchas and how they align with our mission. Right, so the Gemara says, you know, when it comes to Sumchas, the bottom of base on base on top of Gimel Amud Aleph, which we've read already. So the Gemara says that, you know, Moment Mutu Safek for Sumchas is Chol Kimbali Shvua. Right? Why is there a Shvua here? That's what the Gemara introduces Rav Yochanan for the first time. Shalei Kalecha Bechon Tokev Betaliso Shel Chaveru. But it's also important with respect to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan of Sumchas normally say Motzu for Elam Arai. And the Gemara here, as we already read, says, well, how does that fit in the Mishnah? And so Machlokas Rishon, I'm going to read that Gemara. So Rashi says, there it says Motzu B'Kamel Arai, and here we're saying Yachloku. That's a huge discrepancy. Rabbi Hananel and the Rajba and the Marikats and the Rajbats, they read the Gemara a different way. They read the Gemara as saying, even though we understand that there's no difference between Motzu B'Kamel Arai and Yachloku, well, not really, but it's a huge difference. But meaning, when there's one person, it's Motzu B'Kamel Arai. When there are two people, Tofes, each one is Motzu B'Kamel Arai, and you say Yachloku. The real discrepancy, they say, Rach, Rajba, etc., is the fact that here, instead of just saying Motzu B'Chamel Arai on the half, we also require Shmua. Right? So, in that context, the Marikats and some of the other Rishonim discuss how do we look at the Shmua of the Mishnah? And is there an important Machlokes albeit an implicit one, between Sumchas and the Rabbanon with respect to Shmuel, the Mishnah of Shai Mokhs and Yachloku. Also later on, something that we also saw, the Gemara Gimel Amud Aleph, and then later on Dalet Amud Aleph, tries to derive dinim of Modim and Miktas, right? The dinim of Chiyah Kemaisa. Chiyah Kemaisa said that if Eidim testify that a person owes half of the claim that's made against him, even though he denies it all, somebody says, you owe me $100. And the guy says, I don't owe you a penny. Right? If he had said, I owe you $50, he'd take a shvuas for the mikzas. He says, I don't owe you a penny. Problem is that the Eidim come, and they say he owes $50. Right? So Priya Kemaisa said, or Priya, the first Priya did is, that that's mot mikzas. You have to take a shvuas. So the Gemara says, Vitana Tuna. We can bring a raya from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, and Shai Mokhs and Betal, there's a shvuas. Right? And isn't that comparable because Anan Sadi? That's the Gemara here in Gimel Amud Aleph. Again, we saw it already. So, just one second. So the Rishonim all point out the Shmuel Mishnah is Rabbanon. And the Shmuel Mishnah, it seems like Nizhra Ben Otel. Mor of Nixus is the right son. It's Nizhra Ben Iftar. So the Gemara says, the Rishonim say, yeah, Inokhanami. That's what the Gemara thought here, but it's not correct. Others say, the Gemara thought that all the way until Dalet Mouth, they deal with the question of Halach. What happens if a person is more than excess, and he says, here's the amount that I agreed to, Halach. Right? I'm discharging my obligation immediately. Right? So the Gemara again tries to bring a raya from the Shmuel of the Mishnah. Then the Gemara says, how can it be? Is it gained a raisa? There's a big machok, as we'll see it in very much in the context of our next topic. Is our Shmuel of the Mishnah Nizhra of an Iftar, Nizhra of an Hotel? Is it patterned after Mode of the Mitzvahs? What exactly is it? So it turns out that there are all sorts of, and we'll be analyzing this in Eilach and Misayeya, Potem and Ashua very soon, there are all sorts of perspectives, even though the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, it's not like simply a deter, like not a serious Shua per se, just that it's not about the case, it's about future cases. That's what it sounds like. How does that fit in with Mor Heter? How does it fit in with Sumchas' view, Rabbanan's view, Havaminas of Tanatuna, etc.? Yeah.
Couldn't we have reached the same conclusion of Yahoku if each one would take a shua, that the shua is kulishovi? That's an easier shua to take than this twist shua in the follows
by the right. But we do that because, also the Gemara, here about Benanas. We do it because two things. Number one, I mean, the main idea is we don't want what we call a shvua shavua. We don't want two people coming to Beis Din, each one mutually exclusively swearing that the other fellow is a liar. Because then we know that Bein Shneim, in this Beis Din, is shvua shavua was taken. It's interesting, I made the point in the past, the Gemara calls it, quoting Benanos, shvua shavua, even though it's really shvua sheker. Because this shvua sheker is a shvua shavua. Meaning, when both of them, when I take a shvua and we're not sure, there's one bald dog, we're taking a shvua, and we're not sure whether it's false or true, even though let's say there's a 50% chance that it's false, or maybe there's an 80% chance that it's false, but it's never 100% chance that it's false. And there's some charm in knowing that Beis Din did not impose or preside vadai over a shvua's sheker. However, when two Dinim are each one is swearing, which is very rare, like in this case, right? So there's going to be sheker, and if there's goodbye sheker, in a sense that's a shav. We want to avoid that. We don't want Bezin to be sitting there, you know, demanding that me bein shneya, even me bein shneya, that there's a shvua shav.
By Mecca Chumeko, they could say this vadai sheker, but by Mitzia, it's possible.
They both take that at the same time.
Yeah.
It's possible, and you'll see in a moment, it's possible Mecca Chomemkar too. Because we'll see in a moment that the case of the Gemara is that they both threw down money at the same time. So it, in a sense, so not only is it a Chaluka Yichol Yosemes, but what I'm saying is, even in the law, in the greater likelihood that it's not, there's a certain charm in each one saying, I don't have more than half, because as long as we don't know 100% that it's Sheker, and it's Yichol Yosemes, it's not a Badei Sharp. There's some, it's a very important yisod, meaning Beis Din is there to get the truth, but Beis Din also doesn't want to be connected with the Shavuot Sheker, with the profanation of the Rabbeinu Shalom's name, even, you know, say, oh, it's on him. It is on him. I mean, the person who's Nishba L'Sheker L'Shav. But Bezdin is Kalalim Kula Mizdazeya. You know, and that's a great example of it. To the extent that it's not sufficient comfort, it's not Chatzi Nechama, it's certainly not, you know, full Nechama, to be able to say, you know what, he brought it on himself. Because in the end of the day, we're still present when a Shavuot Sheker or Shav is being, and I think it's a very important idea. Okay. Anyway, this is the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, Belechzi Zuze Miman Nakat. Okay, every line is amazing. This Mitzia. Meaning, we're talking about a case of either Mekach HaMemkar or Mitzia. So now the Gemara says, if we're talking about a case of Mekach HaMemkar, Belechzi Zuze Miman Nakat. Why don't we just see who he took the money from? Right? So the Gemara says, we'll have to see exactly what this means in a minute. First we'll go through the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, Tricha did not come to Trabai. In Okanami, if he took the money from one and not from the other, there's only one exchange of money here, then that would determine, you know, who is the owner. Whoever the money came from is the owner. Alexis is the Mimanok. But we're talking about a case of Nakabi Trabayu. Both people gave money. Michad Midaite, Michad Makorcha. One he accepted, you know, and willingly, and that's the, you know, proper owner of the object. And the other guy forced the money on him. Leadanu, Miu Midaite, Umiu Makorcha. We just don't know who is who. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "Name us, this lo kamananos." Came to the little boy, they should shove. That's what we were just talking about a second ago. But we've got that. Yeah, we've done already. This is the bridge that we didn't do. Okay. So basically, this is a very interesting couple of lines. The Gemara says, "Let's see where the money came from." The Gemara says, "Our two monies." Fine. Now, when the Gemara asked, "Let's see where the money came from," what do they mean? What do they mean by that? We should see and draw our own conclusion, or we should ask the mocher from whom he received the money. Let's say we can't tell where the money came from. The only way to determine that is to ask the mocher. Is the mocher, this is basically the question, is the mocher neman, right, to tell us who gave him the money? Or who is the real owner?
Say he died, not around.
So if he died, then then it would only be objectively to see where it came from. If not, if he was alive, let's say, do we believe him? That's the question. Well, why should we or shouldn't we believe him? Ah. So it's based on the problem is based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, which I have in front of me. I'm just going to read to you very quickly. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, this is the background of the Gemara here, and we'll see Rashi in a minute. Neman balamekach lomar. A balamekach, a mocher, is believed to tell us who he legitimately sold the object to. The next is Zuzimi Manaka. The Gemara there in Kiddushin says, like the Gemara here, why don't we just see where the money came from? What do you mean, Neman balamekach? So the Gemara says, L'tshikha d'naka b'chavayu. Our Gemara, he took it from two people. Who did he get it from willingly and who not? And therefore he is Nemo. Oh. So then the Gemara goes on to say that this Nemanus of a Bala Mekach to say, Lazemacharti, Lazelo Macharti, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is this true? Kishan Mekach Biyodo, when the object that he sold is still in his possession. Aval Kishaina Mekach Biyodo, when the Mekach is no longer in his hands, then Eina Bala Mekach Neman. Okay, that's the Gemara in Kiddushin. It's based on the Tosefta as well. If you look actually at Tosefta in the back of the Gemara here, right in the beginning of Bamitzia. Actually, either in the Tosefta or I think the Rosh and The Rosh and the Rif in the back quoted as well. It doesn't make a difference. Wherever you can find it. What's that? Tosefta is always in the back of the Gemara. I have one of these, newfangled Gemaras here, so. Yeah. Shnayim Oks of the Talis. This is a Tosefta. The first Tosefta of Bamatia. Shnayim Oks of the Talis, Zenotal Admokam Shetopus, Zenotal Admokam Shetopus. Maybe I'm wrong. 1 second. Biad echad hamotzim chelav araya. No, 1 second. It's not the first of the theft. I may have got it wrong. Just 1 second. Okay. No, so forget the Tosef. Oh, I see. Here it is. Here, it's Tosefta Aleph Vav, for those of you who have it. And it's a few lines in. Hodas Baldin Kamedim Dami. I think the Rif quotes and the Rush quoted here as well, not base. Hodas Baldin Kamedim Dami. Tosefta starts off. Everybody have it?
Yes.
If you have it in the Tosefta, in mine at least, it's Aleph Vav. Okay, I thought it was the first one, but I was wrong. Hodas Baldin is Kamedim Dami. Right? If the Baldin admits, that he owes money, Kamedim Dami. Amasad is man chatonu behoda. That's if he was a claim. And he admitted it. Avalim hoda, mi piatzmo, he initiated the hoda. I'm trying to speak about that also. Yachalaksevo, he can recant his hoda. Why? Shafesa asar hu ate shehitir. Because the rule is that a tashasa peshehitir. Right, since he is the one who initiated his own obligation, therefore we believe him about it. Okay, that's a topic which we'll discuss more about. Then the Tosefta continues. If you have a third party who's holding on to an object on behalf of two people, he is given the manus in the case. This one says that, the other one says the next thing, and the shalish says something else, or agrees with one of them, the shalish is machriya. Then the Tosefta says, this is the line I wanted, Emasad is man shalish yotze mitachas yodo. Behein ashish yotze mitachas yodo, hare hu ke'echad mikol adam. But, if he no longer is holding on to this object, even though he was the shalish, he was the person, the third party who was, holding on to this, he's no longer neman when it's not tachas yodo. Same thing is true. A balamekach is believed to say, this is the person who I sold the object, with whom I sold the object. Evasai, when? Bisman shamekach yotze mitachas yodo. When the mekach is in his hand. But ena mekach yotze mitachas yodo. Harehu ke'echad mikol ha'adam. Very interesting language we'll get back to. He's like anybody else. Meaning he has no more nemanos than anyone else. Then again, neman adayin lomar, lezeh zechisya lezeh chiyapti, a judge after the psak din is neman to say, right, this is the one who I found guilty, this one innocent. Emesmai v'zman shadin lefanav, avlein adin lefanav, hareu ke'echad mikol ha'od. Basically, the Tosefta and the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to be saying that there's a special nemanos for certain people. A dayan, a balamekach, a shalish. The Gemara in Kiddushin has also the example of a chaya, right? You have a midwife. So she says, Zeyatza Rishon, Zeyatza Sheni. Or Zeb no shel Zeb, Zeb no shel Zeb. She identifies, right, the parentage and the order, of the children, etc. But the Tosefta and the Gemara, in its wake, basically qualify this Nebanos as being limited to a situation where the person is still in control. Oh. So the question is as follows. When the Gemara here says, V'lexi zuze mimanaka, right? So, what are we talking about? Are we talking about even in the situation... She ain't a mekach biyado, That would seem to be against both Tosefta and the Gemara in Kiddushin. Nonetheless, that is how Rashi read the Gemara. Rashi here says, Rashi explains the problem, then he explains how he gets out of it. Rashi says, Alexis is a Mimanakat, Nishala Samocher. Again, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Alexis is a Mimanakat, says, let us see, right, let's trace the paper trail. Right? Doesn't mean follow the money. Exactly. So it doesn't mean necessarily to ask the mocher. Right? Rashi interprets Nishal as a mocher. Bimi kibble the mouth, but that implies that we believe him. The Tani Bikidushin, Naman Balamakahlomala Zemakati Zella Makarti. The Apagav, says Rashi, this is Rashi's Imtomar. So Rashi adds something here. Rashi says, why is it that normally we only believe him, right? So you could have thought, and this is what Tosis holds, I'll read this in a minute, Tosis holds in Kiddushin that the reason is because the nemanus, the special nemanus, is based on migu. Migu di boy Omar X, we believe him when he says why. But he only has a migu when it's mikho biyado, or when it's hatinok biyado, or the din is still in the hands of the dayan. Right? He can do whatever he wants at that point. So we believe him to tell us, right, what really transpired. But the second, that it's not the Yado, the basis for extra namanos goes away. Why do we believe the Mocher more than we believe the Baldava? Right? Therefore, Hare, to use the language of the Tosefta, Hare, who, Kikol, Adam. So the Baal Tosefta are of the opinion that a Mocher, anybody who doesn't have Mikhob Yado, and therefore doesn't have a Migu, has no special namanos. But Rashi here disagrees. Rashi says the opposite. Rashi says, really, the person, the Dayan, and the Chaya, and the Balamekach, and the Shalish, would be believed even if ain Mikho Biyado. The only reason that we don't believe them is because we're worried, Shalonasa Lev Ludover Kokach Leo Zokor, Macher Shashneim Chazruachor of the Peace of Tamel. We're worried that, that's the norm, the default is that we will believe you. More than Kol Adam, even if you didn't have a migu, mean an artificial basis for nemanus. The only thing is that we are concerned, right, that your memory is going to begin to fail, that you're no longer focused, and therefore it's not a question of believing you, it's a question of the quality of your memory. Right? You can believe somebody all you want, but if you think that the quality of his memory is faulty, then that belief isn't going to be legally meaningful. Right in the context of a transaction. How kim nahasam did nakad zuzim itchavayu michad mi daite umichad bal korche. But the Gemara there and here says we're talking about two people giving money. The kivin de lo alei rami la sude lo duck kulai lios nizkar mishahokum velafanav. Right, since it's a subtle thing to begin with because two people gave money and they're not defanav, so he doesn't have to really focus anymore. Anyway, he did his job already. So now it's like a distant memory to reconstruct, right? Maybe died to Hebat Torcha. And that, we don't trust his memory. We believe him, but we don't trust his memory. But if he received money only from one, we don't think that his memory would be compromised. We think it would be clearer, more decisive. He would remember it better. And therefore, we would believe him. That is Rashi Shita. Therefore, the Gemara says here also that we're talking about a case of Tricha the Nakat Zuzim Mitzvayim. Oh, Garsinu v'lo yadina mehei b'daitim mehei bal korcha. V'lo Garsinu v'lo yada. Doesn't say v'lo yada. Yadinan. It says we don't know. Not v'lo yada. He doesn't know. Tafilu yada b'zuein amokhanam and mishalku kinemuki hotz. Even if he says he knows, we don't believe him, not because we don't believe him, but because we don't trust it, his memory. Okay? That is how Rashi reads the Gemara, and that's how Rashi in Kiddushin reads it as well.
I'm brushing when Mishra Biyodo again.
I'm sorry?
When is
Mechel Biyodo
applied
for Mechel Biyodo is going to be in a case where two people get money. So then there's a difference between Mechel Biyodo and Mechel Biyodo, whether he focuses to, as long as it's Mechel Biyodo and he's still responsible, then he keeps his records straight. But if it's a Mechel Biyodo and two people gave money, in that circumstance, we don't trust him. But if only one person gave money, even if it's a Mechel Biyodo according to Rashi, we believe him. And the Bali Tosfos, I say, strongly disagree. Tosfos here also disagrees. It's just not as clear. Look at the Tosfos here. Pirush Rashi, Nisha Lemocher, Yafagad Vena Bocher Neman Kashen Mechel Biyodo, Kedisa Basar Yoksen, Hani Mele Bidinaka Bichovayu, Vinaka Bichad Neman Afilo in Mechel Biyodo. Vigasina Basar Kavlo Yadinan, plural. That's Rashi's sheet. That's he's quoting Rashi. Ubechinam dochak lefarishchein. Says Rashi was dochek to answer this question unnecessarily. Dehaka parich shapir. Because in this sugya, even with all of this, we can understand what's going on. Why? Dalpa gavde mikcha biyado nemanu keid echad. Tosa says Rashi is contorting because he will have you believe that the Gemara is interested in giving the Mecca and giving the Mocher the Nemanos of Shnai. Believe him completely. And that's only true with Man Shachetet Biyado, right? Unless you come up with this Kiddush of Rashi, that's that the whole Chetet Biyado is only in a situation where Shnayim Nosnu Kesef. But otherwise, there is a Nemanos even La'achar, because it isn't based on Migu, it's based on something else which we'll discuss in just a sec. Yeah. However, says Tosas, we don't need that in our Gemara. All we need in our Gemara is to be able to believe the Mocher as an Eid Echad. What if we do believe him as an Eid Echad? The answer is, how does that affect the Mishnah? We don't believe him completely. The answer is, it goes on the part of the Mishnah, not that we should believe him and therefore win the case, but Amai Shneim Nishboim. Why did they both take a Shvua? Shneim Olsen Talis, Yachloku, Bishvua. The problem isn't the Yachloku. That we understand. The problem is why Shneim Yachloku Bishvua, right? Osa Shamocha Misayo, the one who is supported by the Mocher, Yipater Mishvua, he should be exempted from a Shvua. The Idach and the other guy should be Yishva Shvua Daraisa. He should take a Shvua Daraisa. Hashtagar Shapir Velo Yada. Tosa says, therefore, the Girsa of Velo Yadan as opposed to Velo Yadinan, meaning he, the answer to his question is, does he know? Right?
No.
Mocha. Because if he knows, the Yada, Havanam and Kedachad. What is Tosa assuming here? That Eidachad Nisayeya is Potem and Ashur. And a supportive Eidachad, this is one of the big issues we're going to discuss, is exempt person he's advocating for, he exempts it from a shua. We know that Eid Echad is Mechayev a shua. Right? La'avon l'chatas lo'kam, but aval chamu the shua. That means that if, like the Gemara says in Shavuot, Safnem Amud Aleph, kol makom sheshnayim mechayevin osam mamon, anytime where two people are mechayev mamon, echad mechayevo shua. Wow. So, yeah.
If the Mekach in his hands, is there a Kenyan?
If the Mekach, there could be, especially if it's Kenyan. Okay, well, this is a Bishop Parah.
Okay, right. If the Mekach still in his hands, there's no Kenyan. There's nothing to even argue about. It's only when the Mekach's not in his hands.
Could be. Unless, again, it was a Kenyan Kassab. But that's Bishop Parah, usually,
right.
We say. But unless it was a Kenyan and then he still had it, and then it goes back into his hands. Like what you said, right? Maybe he just isn't around. Maybe he died. Maybe he traveled. And that's what we mean. He's just not there. The Riva Farish, Riva says even more innocuously, the Nishalayim and Mikibala Mocher Mos, Shen Nechoshtin Ozan L'Sheker, we should ask them, never mind the Mocher, we should ask them who paid the money. We don't believe they're going to lie about the facts, right? So we're going to say, listen, whoever gave the money, is likely the mukak that he's probably the real owner. The gam heimim cholkim al lemin etzratva hamocher. Before we knew that each one gave money, he said, "Oh, I gave the money, but he really wanted to sell it to me." Okay. So these are the different explanations of Tosfos. Tosfos and Kiddushin, so I'm just going to read a line or two from, disagrees with Rashi, not just because he has an alternative in the Gemara here, namely, one we talk about is in terms of Eidacha and the Sayyeh Pota Mishua, but because he thinks it says plain wrong. Namely, what Rashi says, which is that there's a special namanus, even Bizman She'ina Mikcha Biyado, is wrong. Yeah. Second. Umash Pirish, the Parach Ein Mikcha Biyado, the Kama de Eino Naman, the Parach Venexi Man Hakat, will owe the Shinoz and Bada in the Shratz Akasha. The Mayesh Shonullah Amino, Tzvei, Meirecha the Alma. Why should we believe this Mocha more than we believe any other Einachon? Since the object is not in his possession, the only reason we normally believe him is because of migu, and so on. So we have here a very fundamental argument between the Rishonim. Rashi seems to be of the opinion that a mocher has special namanas. Even Bizman Shein HaMekach Biyado, so there's no Migu. What is that based on? So the Ran in Kiddushin thinks that Rashi's din is a din drabana, and that it's based on need. I mean, it's a public, it's a halakhic policy, but it isn't daraisa. Meaning, in all these situations, or in some of these situations, right, the chaya, the dayan, right, the mocher, right, if we can't rely on them, then, you know, we're stuck. Especially in the case of the chaya, you know, and the dayan, no one else knows. Right, so the fact that lemaitza, pragmatically, we're reliant upon them, right, that gives them, right, special namanas. The Ram thinks that that's a din rabbanan. How will they know Gevin Amar?
The other two are
Bavidim
in a sense, and he's not.
I mean, he's not an Ogei
B'davar.
Right. But the question is, being not an Ogei B'davar, why does that make him more than an Eidechon? He's still not Shlaim Eidim. Right? So to say that he is enough to Mechayiv Shvua, and maybe if there is such a din, to be Poter B'Shvua, B'Torah Seidechon B'Sayeya, that's fine. But where do we get the idea that he would have full Nemanus, which is what Rashi is saying, even without a Migul? So the Iran says it's a din rabbanan, and it's based on need. We need to rely on him, and therefore the rabbanan said that we could. Interesting. But Rashi doesn't say that. And, you know, with all their heritage for the Iran, you know, if Rashi doesn't say it's a din rabbanan, I would assume that it's a din d'oraisa. What could this din d'oraisa be based on? So I think, I've said this in the past, I believe in it. That's why I tried saying and that is in Hilchos Nabanus, right, we find, you know, or at least I think we could posit that there is a certain, you know, perspective here. On the one hand, when it comes to Eidus, as I've said many times, we find, you know, both remarkable flexibility and Nabanus, like the Din of Kashrus is, you know, shockingly, you know, liberal. You know, all things being equal, you know, Ploni and Almoni, who we've never met, you know, we don't know what their track record is, they have no known credentials, they have Chesed Kashrus, you know, in terms of Nemanus, and they can establish a fact which can, you know, dictate the fate of any Jew. Death penalty, whatever it is. Ploni and Almoni, we don't know who they are. The background check. Not only that, right? Trey Kanea, right? These two Adim, whoever they are, worth a zillion. Maya is just an expression. And not only that, but as we've explained again, Moshe V'Aaron Shneachimim, and you know, Ploni and Almoni, who aren't related, are more Naman. Right? And forget about the Krovim. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu and Almoni are the equivalent of, you know, Ploni and A.
Right.
So again, there is such a thing as Din Meruma. You know, sometimes the Dayan sees that there's something going on here, and you know, he has some latitude. But at least in Hilchos Eidos, right, the impact of Chesed Kasheres is just shockingly liberal, in an impressive good way. Right? We remember, every member of Klal Yisrael has a presumption of honesty. Because of that, this is like a theory, philosophy of law theory. Because of that, we also find, you know, that there are some, I wouldn't say draconian, because it's not true, but there are some important limitations or restrictions. Right? And things like Moshe and Aaron, Shnei Achim Hein. Moshe and Aaron are krovim. Who could be more honest than Moshe and Aaron? Right? Doesn't matter. Lo plug. If krovim are psulim, krovim are psulim. And, you know, if krovim are neid lechova, you know, it's still lo plug. Right? Even if you don't hold the sijin of kogsun, chinuch, and the Rambam, if you think krovim are most likely to lie for you or against you. This is an interesting issue, right? But even assuming that they're most likely to, which is the more optimistic view, that they're most likely to lie for you, right? The fact that they're made against you is not matzah then. That's low plug. And there are other low plugs, you know, chashashos, that we're concerned about. One of them is that, you know, no matter what the credibility of the individual, or the fact that he's in a particular, you know, that we normally know him to be an honest man, right? We are a stickler for two Adim. You know, when there are two Adim, don't get this enormous license of Chesed Kashrus and fact, Trey Kaneya. But absent Trey Adim, right, you can't establish facts so easily. And even at Akon, is basically only Mechayev Eshul. However, Luya Tzuyar, that you were able, let's say, to adjust a little bit, not to have to worry about low plugs, not to have to compensate, you know, some aspects of the system, right, in order to, you know, accommodate, you know, the balance, accommodate or balance the other part of the system. Luya Tzuyar, that were true, so wouldn't it be appropriate in some cases to relax these laws a little bit, right? Especially, you know, from somebody who's in a position, you know, to shed light on the case, right? So we have a notion, for example, Odas Pazim Kameidizam. And another version of it might be different. Odam Neman Alatsmo, right? Yosem Yimeyish. Even Yosem Yimeyish. So sometimes, when it comes to one's own domain, right, we throw out some of the low plugs of Eidos, right, and we provide a more expansive, you know, namanos to people. Is it possible that that will also be true in a situation you don't have to worry about low plug, when people are in a special circumstance to know, number one, and or they're just you know, the situation, if there's no reason for them to know more, but at least their situation is just not a low plug situation. And I think that's what Rashi really has in mind. Achaya has, either because of Achaya dying of Balmekach, it's not just that we need to rely on them more, right? There's also a certain greater responsibility, right, that they have in the case. That's number one. And number two, their circumstance, their status is different. They're not every man. They're not Ploni and they're not Almoni. And therefore, we can more comfortably, you know, provide a Cheskes Kashrus for their Namanos and Tzilusim, Eidos, right, without worrying about the low plug consequences. I think that is behind Rashi's view that even absent Mikhov Yodo, right, to the contrary, really a Chaya, Dayan, a Sholish, a Balamekach, they're all in a special position to know. They're all in a special position such that we don't have to low plug and therefore undercut their namamas. The only thing is, right, in situations where, you know, lo rami ale, you know, there's reason to think, not that they're lying, but that maybe, you know, they're no longer, the quality of their memories are no longer reliable, that's different than suspecting them of lying, then under those conditions, right, we withdraw the special nemanos. Now think of that for you. So the Rashi here in this sukkah. Now even Rishonim who require that the mekach be biyado, so Bali tells to say that it's midin miku. If you look at the Riazakein in Kiddushin and the Orzarua in Bab Mitzvah, we get a very different impression. Seems like they think that mikho v'zmanche, mikho biyado, is a shiur in the Hagadara of Dayan and Chaya and Bala Mekach and so on. Not because migu di boyomri, it's not a migu, it's a shiur either in their bailus or in their shame, Bala Mekach. In other words, I'm the Bala Mekach, why? I'm the Chaya and the Dayan, why? Because I was? Right? Or because I am? In other words, this is part of my history, and therefore I'm always have a shame. Rashi seems to be saying that even after the fact, you have a shame Dayan, you have a shame Mocher, you have a shame Chaya. Your history, your involvement, right, you know, continues to brand you, to give you that special status. A group of other Rishonim may say, either, it's not the Migu, but it's the Bailus of Biyado Lastos, it's a prerequisite in the continued shame of Dayan, Balmekach, Chaya, etc. Anyways, the Ravid takes Rashi's basic view, but the Ravid makes a slightly different distinction. The Ravid here in the in Shiva Govetz and Bava Tzia, and it's also quoted by the Meiri, suggests the following interesting distinction. The Ravid says, if the Bala Mekach is asked and informs you, right, where the money came from, you believe him. However, if you ask him who was the recipient of the sale, then you don't believe him. That's a pretty subtle difference, right? So, in one version, at least, in some versions of the Ravid says, to use a phrase that he used a minute ago, in the case, when you ask him who he sold it to, he's a baldavar. When you ask him who gave the money, he's more of an detached observer. Now, in both cases, it's omigu, and this has nothing to do with the Ran Kedushin's idea of, you know, needing to rely on him. It's a pretty subtle difference, you know, no matter which way you cut it, right? But the idea of the Ravid seems to be the Ravid is struggling, right, to figure out, getting back to the language of the Tosefta, what does the Tosefta say? Bizman she'ena nekach biyado harehu kekol adam. So what does it mean when we say harehu kekol adam? So according to Tosus, what it means is the only reason we ever believe somebody more than an Eid Echad is when he has a migu. Right? And that's bizman she'nekol biyado. Bizman she'nekol biyado harehu kekol adam. Meaning that he loses his migu, that props up his nemanus, it inflates his namanas, it's the basis of his namanas, and therefore he's like a regular person. If he's not an aid, he's nothing. But the way to read the Tosefta, according to Rashi and according to the Ravid, and a little bit even according to the Riazakein and the Arzarua, etc., is that if there's no mikho biyado, or, you know, an adjustment thereof, like according to Rashi, but at least there's only one, you know, kesef. In the case of the Ravid, the distinction between, you know, who gave the money, who did you sell the object, to whom did you sell the object. If you don't have that, then hareyu kikol adam, meaning not that he loses his artificial migu, but he loses his shame Chaya, Baldavar, Dayan, right? It becomes a matter of his interesting or not interesting, as the case may be, history, right? But it's not a relevant legal, you know, status or standing. That is the way that we interpret these Rishon. This is a very, very important machlokas, and the nuances are very important.
And what exactly the legal that you refer to?
I mean, he could deny the whole thing, and he could say it never happened or didn't happen, things of that sort. Yeah. Now, let's go on to Tosas now. Tosa says that the sugya.
Why would you believe in this alternate taina?
Why not?
You want to give credibility to this taina?
He can say, I didn't sell it at all. Maybe. I didn't get any money.
But the catch 22. Why is that taina better than this taina? You know.
Because he could deny the whole thing. He could suppress it. Right? The man should be other. We can do whatever he wants. The default is that he is the mocher, right?
But
he has money. We believe him. Right, but he doesn't have to admit that he sold it. Sadly, considering the sales, that he sold it. He's a Marikama.
Why don't you ask him who gave the money first? Why is that important question? Tosa says, who gave the money voluntarily? Who?
Yeah, we're assuming that. Well, number one, again, it's a little tricky because the money here, and we're going to talk about this, Tosa and Kedushin, the Ramban here in Mohamos, I'm sure they're both places. The money issue as a substantive point, as opposed to Numdana, is a little tricky because we're dealing with Metalpolin. And Kesef, or Mos, in Metalpolin, at least Midrabanan, is only in Mishapara. So that's why, you know, who gave first, whatever, is it Mishapara, which is, you know, in Umdana, is it like Nigo Bimokamedim, or what is it? That's part of the discussion. Okay. The Tosis suggestion is that we're dealing not with Nemanu Samocher, you know, this type or that type, but we're dealing with Eidachon, and the issue of Eidachon is Sayyaya Lifter Meshua. So this opens a massive, massive topic right here in the beginning of Abitzia about this concept of Eidachon the Sayyaya Potter Meshua. So again, the background being, as we just noted before, everybody agrees that Eidachon is Mechayim Meshua. But if you have an Eidachon in a situation where, you know, you don't have two Eidim, and Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon says, I don't owe you a penny. That's called Prakal, you'd be potter. Right? But Reuven has an Eidachon on his side. So Shimon has to take a Shimon's right, so Shimon's Eidachon. That's the deal. Everybody agrees. Right? Wherever two Eidim are Mechayev Mamon, Eidachon is Mechayev. The question is, what about Eidachon Nisayeya Liktam Nashua? So this is a massive Machlokas Rishonim, and opens up a fascinating window into, you know, different types of Shuos, the idea of Muxakus, all sorts of interesting things. We're not going to spend forever on it, but at least some of the basic things we should look at. So let's start with the famous Rosh. The Rosh Yolatar. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take another minute before I start with the Rosh, because it's the best time to do it. Before we discuss the Rosh, I just want to mention the Ritz. The Rif had a different answer for the Rashi and Tosis's question. Namely, how can we say the Lexis is in the Mandokan, we should rely on the Mocher? It's a situation of a Nikko Biyado, right? And so on. So, again, Tosis's answer is Eidachon Nisayeya Potter Meshua, right? And Rashi's answer is Neman Bala Mekach Afilu Kashayna Mekach Biyado, as long as there aren't two Kesef sources. You just know that the Rif has a very famous different solution to this problem that touches on a topic that we already discussed. The Rif is Mechadesh because of this question, just to show you how serious it is. Look on Aleph Omid Aleph to Aleph Omid Beis in Adap Erif. basically what the Rif says is, because of this question, that we're talking about a situation where the Bala Mekach is still holding on to the Mekach. How could that be? What is this going on in this Gemara here? Shnayim, Oksim, Batalis. And we said, Zeh Omer Niyam Tassiyah, Zeh Omer Niyam Tassiyah, Zeh Omer Kula Shali, Zeh Omer Kula Shali. And the Gemara just said what? It refers to Mitzia and Mekach Memkar Utsricha. The Pashtus of the Gemara is Shnayim Oksim Batalis has two cases. One is Mekach, and the other one is Mitzia. The Rif says, no, it can't be. Look at the Rif very quickly. He starts off with the Tosefta that we just read. Tanu Rabbanan, Ados Lodin Kamedim Domei Masai B'tman Shetanu V'Hodilo. Avlam Hodami Epiyat Me'ochel Asur Shefesh Asan. And so on and so on. I don't have to go through the whole Tosefta. This is the Tosefta that we just read. Skip to the Shamina Mina. Everybody have that? After he quotes the Tosefta, he says, V'Shamina Mina. Whatever, he's not holding on to the Mekach. We don't believe him more than anybody else. Correct? So then the Gemara says, Rif asks, the Kashalon. The Garcia and Achabala Yada. Mihu midaitin mi bal korchay mechlal. Mihu yada. Mihu midaitin mi bal korchay neman. It seems like we don't believe him because we don't solve the problem because he doesn't know. But if he knew, we believe him. So the Rif remarkably answers in Mistabralon, the Hodek Atani, Shnayim Oksim Batalis, Lava Kula Milsa Ketani, Ela Mitzia, Bilachud Ketani. The Shnayim Oksim Batalis is only referring to Mitzia. Aval, Mekachu Memkar, Kedi Isa Biyade de Mocheru. We're talking about a case where it's Biyade de Mocher, and that's why we believe him. If he remembers, Kedekatani Bebraisa Umishimachi Amina Layada Miyamidaita Mibakorche Yada Mehemet Aba Leisa Biyadi Democher Lishneim Adukin Bok. Both were holding on. Ein Balamekach Lema Lechudei Loma Lezemacharti Lezemacharti Ela De Bitzar Pachrina Baadei. Unless he had two Edim Kishar Eduyos the Alma. But the remarkable thing about this is that the Rif holds in the case of Mekach Memkar. If the Bala Mekach is holding on, then we say Yachloku. Right? Now, the case of the Mishnah in Mekach Memkar for the Rif is a case where only one person is holding on. Not one of the Bala Dina. Right? The Bala Mekach, the Mocher, for Shneim. Now, we had a similar issue, right, when it came to Pikadon. If you remember, the Gemara asks the question from Mana Shlishi. Mishnah says Shnayim Oksim Batalis Yachloku, right? And then the Gemara at one point said, how does this fit in with the rule of Yehemunach HaTshuyavo Eliyahu? That's a case where one guy gave to a Nifgad a Mana, $100, the other guy gave Masayim. They come back and they say, each one says, it's my Masayim. Right? So the Gemara says, how come that's not like Shnayim Oksim Batalis? So the Gemara answers, because a chalukah, in the case of Shnayim Oksim Batalis, a chalukah yichol yosemes, and here ain't a chalukah yichol yosemes, or vane ramai, according to some, etc. Right? That's the Gemara. So the Bali Tosis said, if Shnayim Oksim Batalis, unlike the Rivon Tosis Bava Basra, which we talked about so much, is dafka v'shayim oksin, and that's why it's not called alam gabar, because each one is holding on, right? So how did the Gemara compare it to Manashlishi? There aren't two people holding on to Manashlishi. There's only one shalish, a third party, who's holding it for both. Right? Precisely for that reason, the Rivan Tosim Bav Basra, that's his biggest, strongest raya, that the Mishnah in Bava Metzia is blabbed up to talking about Shnayim Oksim Batalis. Maybe it really isn't. Even if Shnayim made him Tosim, it's fine. But what if, and the Rajba, the Hamaskana also says, Hinochanami, the case of the Nifgad holding for Shnayim, it's not comparable to Shnayim Oksim Batalis. Only the Havamina of the Gemara thought so, but not the Maskana. That's the Rajba. But, Bali Tosis say, the Nifgad is Tofes Vaad Shnayim. When the Nifgad holds it for the two of them, it's as if each one is holding it. So the Chiddush here is that the Rit is saying that same idea about the Mocher. But you can be Mechalik between the Mocher and the Nifkat. Remember, the Nifkat got it from each one. He got something from each one. He got 100 from one and 200 from the other. So, at least on that level, you might say, you know what? You know, there are two people who make up this Nifkat's life in this matter. And it's true. One is really 200. It's not Tani's for 150. But you could say, only Beit Shneihem, there's 300. But in the case of the Mocher, it's not me Beit Shneihem. You know, there's a Metach. He just doesn't remember which one he took from. He only took from one. So you might say that that isn't comparable to the Nifkad who's Tofes Ta'ad Shneihem. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe you could say in the case of the Nifkad, right, he receives each one separately. Here, right, already at the time of the Metach, there was some confusion. Point is that the Rit is Mechadesh, that the case of the Mishnah, Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis, is only a Metziah, but a Mekach U'Memkar, the Mocher is Tofes Ta'at. Okay. Now let's look at the Rush. So the Rush talks about the question of Eidecha Nisayeya, and he says as follows. This is in the middle, towards the middle. One second. No. It's Siman Gimel. Sorry. Correct. Siman Gimel. Everybody have it? Very famous Rosh. Umidiv Rabbeinu Tam Yishulmo De'erachod Potem Rashua. The Rosh says, from Rabbeinu Tam, you can derive the rule, the lesson, that Eidechad is Poter Menashua. The Hebrew of Meir Rutenberg, Ryal is Varav. The Ram Rutenberg brings a proof to this matter. This is Darshino Gshavuos, Lekolovet Lekolchapos Udeinakam, Avokam Linen Shua. Right? Eidechad is not effective in Ovon and Chatos, but it's effective in Legabe Shua. So, that's about Chiyuv Shvua. The Lomia Tekra, Bein Chiyuv Shvua, Bein Lipatem and Ashvua. So the Rosh says, the distinction is between Avon and Chatos and Shvua. But why should we be Mechalek between Chiyuv Shvua and Ptur Shvua? Eidechad is effective in the domain of Shvua. But obviously, right, there's reason, you know, to challenge this. Both Kavachomer, which is why the Rosh goes further. Right, lest you say, right, just because there's Chiyuv Shvua doesn't mean there's Ptur Shvua. Just because the Torah says Komhu L'Shvua with respect to Chiyuv doesn't necessarily mean everything in the domain Bein L'Chiyuv, Bein L'Ptur. Lest you say that, says the Rosh, the old Kavachomer, if anything, right, there's a Kavachomer. Because Eze Koach Meruba. Koach HaMuchzak or Koach She'ena Muzak have Omer Koach HaMuchzak. Right? The rule is Amotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. And yet we impose a Shvua on the Muchzak Nishma V'Niftar, which means he's a Muchzak. The Muchzak has to swear in order to fend off the Eid Echad. To neutralize the Eid Echad, he has to swear. Even though he's a Muchzak, he's in a stronger position. In King Kavakomeru. If the aid is on the side of the ein muksak, the weaker side, right, and nonetheless okay, because the muksak li shava, he can force the stronger muksak into a shvua. So kishayed nesayel the muksak, if he's on the side of the muksak, and what he has to do is simply exempt the muksak, right, from being nishva, kol shken shiv teranu in a shvua. Now again, is that logic impeachable, unimpeachable?
No.
No, for sure not. And if you look at the, what's that? Yeah, not always, but definitely often. Definitely we should be skeptical. If you look at the Rashbats and Shittim Kubetzes, he challenges this idea very strongly. And if I get a chance, I'll get back to it. Odei v'raya, v'degamar abchia, later on, the Gemara says, the name of abchia, v'eidah b'chayim al shahar, mi'benayu, d'pi v'edecha. Yisol k'dayt v'edecha, d'ena potem v'nashvua. This is a very strange raya. I'm not even going to try to explain it right now. If you hold it echad, it's not potem l'shvua. Lifrach malah pivei echad kishen b'chayvin shvua en kiyotzven poter be'osa shvua. This is a very strange raya. Very strange raya. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that at the moment. Maybe I'll get a chance to get back to it. The Rosh himself in the continuation kind of admits that this is in the category of a pircha koldu, because it really seems to be going in the opposite direction of what it is. Ella, skip down 3, 6, or 7 or so lines. Ella causes the conclusion. Ella karchach, says the Rosh, ein echad poter min hashvua. Ein echad exempts a shvua zizhuv niftar. Kishem, whenever you see the word kishem, it's always noteworthy. Just as an equation, shu mechayet shvua. Right? Not necessarily. Ba'od nevin raya, and so on. Okay, we'll get back to some of the rayas later on. The Ran, so we're running out of time, just want to get this on the record, and then, again, our next year is supposed to be in 2 weeks. Again, there is a possibility that I won't be here, but I'll let everybody know. But the Ran, also quoted in the Nebuke Yosef, so you have that in the back as well, has a very significant qualification. Before we get to the Ran, so I should note that the Rashbat in Shidduch Betes tries to refute this Rash, but earlier than that, the Ramban and Muhammad's right here, again, we'll have to go into that as well, disagree strongly. Ramban says that in his opinion, Ein Echad Nisayeya is not Poter any Shvud Araisa. Says it's Tamua Bioser that you could say such a thing even. So, tax the Balamor. If you see, did everybody see the Balamor on the first page of the Rift?
Which page?
Aleph of an Aleph, or, I think. Or is it based on base? Yeah, Aleph of an Aleph, right? The Balamor, really leave the Balamor itself alone for the moment. Balamor has a very interesting perspective. He starts off seemingly saying one thing about Echad Nisayim in the Shmuel HaMishnah, then he seems to bring a proof from Shmuel D'Oraisa. I have a theory about the Balamor, but Balamor just triggered, like, you know, a huge uproar by the Ramban and earlier the Raivad. And both this, I don't understand what he's saying, and he brings a Raivad from Sumchas, seems like the opposite. I think Balamor's saying something really profound. Just to take my word for the moment, but we don't have time. We have to finish up in 2 more minutes, so we'll leave the Balamor. But the Balamor is very strange, very, very challenging. Let's say I think what he says is very important. The Ramban of the Mechamos disagrees. Ramban says Abal. I'm skipping the second paragraph of the Ramban of Mechamos. Balamor kilko devar v'pnei rayosav shehavim in the simchus v'shnaitin v'kaman. It's impossible to say that an Eidechad would be poter you from a Shvua Doraisa. A Shvua Doraisa like Shvua Sashomrim or Eidechad, or more than Mikzah. We only find that an Eidechad is Mechayev a Shvua. Avalo Liftar, not to exempt. It's a very important kasha that we're not going to get into. Meaning, just as strongly as the Rosh and Ram Rutenberg were convinced that if Eid Echad of Nisayeya is, if Eid Echad is Mechayev Eshvua, Kol Shekein is Potem and Eshvua, the Ramban felt exactly the opposite. That Eid Echad in Nisayeya is Mechayev Eshvua, but never Potem and Eshvua. The Ramban, the Ran, quoted by the Nebuke Yosef, has a pshara. He says, maybe there's a difference between Shvua Seid Echad and Shar Shvua Saraisa. So look here for a minute. The Das Aran, it's on, probably the first page. I'm not sure. Again, I have these Ozahadar Gemaras, which are really a pleasure to read. The fonts are very easy on the eyes. But they're not the regular page. So what is it? What is the real page here? I think it's still Aleph from the base in the Daf Erith. Aleph from the base, right? Yeah. So it says, after he quotes the V'das Rebbein Meir Rutenberg, Zal, V'das Aran, you know what, earlier, one second. I made a mistake, one second. I just want to get this on the record because it's very important. No, I think I'm right. V'das Aran, the lomi boy, the miptar, mishfuah, satakana, lafilu, mishfuah, שמחייב אינחוד פוטרו תקימן דאיקה אינחוד דמתחישו משווה סעדוסי דרישון כמנדלסו כבר יאמן והני מילקי שבו בבצחס אף מי שדונו בזן על פי אינחוד של רישון. So the Ran that's quoted by this Nebuka Yosef has the following chilok.
He's calling the Ran
Bar? Yeah. Rav Nach, Rav Nissen ben Ruhin. So the So basically, what the Ran, Lucas is quoting the Ran, was mechadesh, was that all shvuos daraisa are not the same in this matter. Eid achad misayeyas poter mishvuos eid achad, but not mishvuos hashomrim or shvuos mor demektas. Why? Now one could have said that the reason is because the quality of Shvua Seid Achad, right? The Chomer HaShvua, the nature of the Shvua, is different than the Shvua of Moda Mevektas and Shvua HaShomrim. That's not what the Ran says. Ran says has an altogether different perspective. He basically says that what happens is, in the case of Eid Achad, Keneged Eid Achad, is that the Eid Achad of Mesayeh is not put to the Shvua. What he does is he's Makhish the other Ein and makes him command the Leisa. In other words, when you have the first Ein Echad coming and then the Ein Echad is Makdish, and especially if it's kind of the Vasachas, so they just knock each other out. Had there been a Chiyuv Shvua, right, then Ein Echad Misayeh wouldn't be Poter even Shvua Ein Echad. But Ein Echad, Keneged Ein Echad, is command the Leisa. And then he goes on to explain that even Shnayim Eidim and Shnayim Eidim are Keman D'Leisa, which is even a bigger Kiddush. Here, to go on what he says, V'Raya L'Dabar, I'm skipping a little bit just because it's late. Aval K'Shei Dachod Neid L'Chaibu Shvua Afilu Kibu Bezdin Al Piv Kol Shevoi Dachod V'Kishu Kodim Shenizra Kibat V'Achasu Kiven Shev L'Chusa Maisa Miu Hainu Dachka Be Dachod D'Machna V'Sadusa D'Kama Kaman D'Leisa Aval Liftor Mishu V'Chuyiv Shvua Shal Torah Kamor The Mikta So Shomrim Lo Kein Hela Haran Bar V'Chidusha. Okay, so this is a very fascinating idea. Not everybody agrees with this at all. But I just want to get on the record before we adjourn that the Chumas HaDeshen and the Ksos in a slightly different way suggest that maybe Shvuas HaShomrim is different. But the way the Ksos suggests it, it's L'Chumra. The way the Chumas HaDeshen suggests it, it might be L'Kula. So I'll explain that next time. In other words, just to sum up, there's Machlokes Rishonim whether Eid Echad Misayeh is Poter Shvua or not. Then within that, there's another Machlokes, and that is whether we distinguish between different types of Shvuos and why. So where we should begin very briefly in our survey, which we just have, is the three Shvuos Daraisa. Eid Echad, Shvuos HaShomrim, Moda Mektas. It'll give us just a little bit of an occasion to already kind of develop quickly what they are. All three of these Shvuos Daraisa identical, or are they based on different principles? And is that reflected with respect to the problem of how they're exempted? Then we should also look at Eid Echad Misayeh being Poter Shvuos Rabbanan. For example, are Shvuos HaMishnah particularly? What about Shvuos Heses? And what about Shvuos Zishra Benotel? So we'll try to do a quick job, even though it's a massive topic. It can take weeks. But, so hopefully we'll continue 2 weeks from now. If not, it'll be 3 weeks.